The believers, when they heard that the apostles were being arrested and jailed and executed, and when they heard of this, and they heard that the Jewish leaders were supporting it, and many people in the city were pleased of it, you'd think they would have left the city of Jerusalem for lost and said, we can't do any more in this city, and they would have scattered and hid. You think that the gospel would have stopped advancing in its tracks in the city of Jerusalem because of fear. Picture those who around this world face opposition. There are many pastors and missionaries who face from within and from without those who want to silence them. And there are many Christian parents and teachers that face pressures to be silent in this world. And you will face pressures to not speak of this message. And you'll be tempted to fall into fear and silence. But Jesus is with us. Jesus is alive. And we advance the good news of the kingdom of God because of Jesus who has taken away our fears.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, April 15th, 2018. This message is taken from Acts 12, verses 1 to 19.
I'm guessing that a lot of you have seen the TV series or the movies based off the Mission Impossible series. It always starts off, doesn't it, with the seemingly impossible task or covert operation which they're assigned. And it always begins with your mission, should you choose to accept it, because it's nearly so difficult and inconceivable that someone could actually carry out the task. As you're watching it, you're kind of sitting on the edge of your seat wondering the whole time, not so much how are they going to do it, but even why would they even do such a mission? Wasn't it the same for those who are carried out into this world with God's mission to carry out his task? The disciples of Jesus were sent out to carry out his message. And shouldn't the same be said also for Christian pastors and missionaries today, or for that matter, all of God's people who are witnesses to his resurrection and his message? When you consider what we're up against, many fears and opposition, a seemingly impossible task. But this morning we look at how our God removes all our fears. Jesus advances the gospel as he dispels all our fears. Now, certainly if you look at the job Jesus gave his disciples, it wasn't, should you choose to accept it? It was simply, you will be my witnesses. And he sent them out, beginning in Jerusalem, to spread the message that he had risen to life, that he had forgiven the world's sin, and that forgiveness was found in his name. And where the disciples were working and operating, that is, starting in Jerusalem, was actually the hot seat of the opposition. It's there we see in Jerusalem that the church persecutes, or is persecuted by the leaders in Jerusalem. In fact, we read of a man named Stephen. When he's standing up to the Sanhedrin and talking to them about Jesus and the resurrection, they dealt with him. They killed him. And it says, as Luke records in the book of Acts, after the death of Stephen, a great persecution broke out in the church. And many fled the city of Jerusalem, and the disciples were all scattered because of that persecution that took place. And that brings us to now 14 years after the resurrection of Jesus. In the city of Jerusalem, we're reading in Acts 12, and we see that King Herod Agrippa decides he's going to arrest some of these Christians in order to appease the Jewish leaders. And he arrests a handful of Christians, and among them is included James. And without fair trial, without hearing, without any justice, he takes James and he puts him to death. And sure enough, this pleases many of the people in Jerusalem, and it pleases the Jewish leaders. So Herod continues, and he arrests Peter. As you look at this situation, it seems quite bleak. As if one could look at that and say, it doesn't seem like it could get much worse. This is how Satan operates. When the gospel is being spread, he seeks to halt the advance of the kingdom of God. And he seeks to discourage and shut the mouths of God's messengers. And he'll strike when the time is opportune. You can imagine how the leaders in Jerusalem were thinking, now, finally, now we're going to silence this Galilean sect that claims Jesus is risen and he's the Messiah. Seems like things couldn't get much worse. But they did. Peter's not only arrested, but Herod had no doubt been aware how the disciples, the apostles, had escaped from jail a couple years earlier. So this time he's not taking any chances. Herod wants to make it impossible for Peter to escape. He takes Peter and puts him in the palace guard that is inside the fortress in the inner part of the city. And inside the palace dungeon, he has four groups of four soldiers guarding Peter with two layers of security. And there's Peter with a guard on each side of him. Peter's in chains as he's sleeping with the sentry at the door. Seems pretty bleak. How does the church respond with such discouragements that people are being arrested, that not only did God allow the stoning of a faithful man like Stephen, but he allowed the persecution of many others, the death of one of Jesus' disciples, and now Peter. And it seemed very much impossible that things would change. How do you respond when there's discouragements, fears for spreading the gospel? Maybe you're serving on a church leadership position, and the church sets its mind to accomplish some task or do something, and you're thinking, well, this didn't work in the past, or people didn't seem to respond to that, and you begin to fear that maybe it's not going to pan out. You almost want to give up. Maybe you find yourself given that opportunity to invite somebody. After all, that's a simple way, right, to spread the good news, to invite someone to worship or to a Bible class. And so you have that invitation from church, but then the invitation just sits on your counter and doesn't make it into that person's hands because maybe you're afraid, right? Maybe you're wondering, what will they think? Or maybe they won't come. Maybe they'll reject my invitation. And so you don't. Or maybe someone doesn't click like or share on social media when they see that gospel message because they're wondering, well, how would so-and-so respond if I shared that? Because we know there's opposition. It's not just Herod, it is the spiritual forces of evil, and it is those who oppose the kingdom of God that will seek to silence under his influence the spread of God's kingdom. And when Jesus says, you're a witness, I know how it is. Even not just in my office as a pastor, but in my own personal life, it's not unbelief that silences me, but fear. Fear of opposition, fear of rejection, fear of what might happen if I do, or discouragement when I see others who are facing great opposition. How does the church respond? How do you respond when you have those fears? Well, certainly, Peter could have responded by simply avoiding the city of Jerusalem. You'd think when he heard that Herod was arresting the apostles and Herod was putting to death his friend James, that Peter would have stayed far away from the city. Peter could have done that. And the believers, when they heard that the apostles were being arrested and jailed and executed, and when they heard of this, and they heard that the Jewish leaders were supporting it, and many people in the city were pleased of it, you'd think they would have left the city of Jerusalem for lost and said, we can't do any more in this city, and they would have scattered and hid. You'd think that the gospel would have stopped advancing in its tracks in the city of Jerusalem because of fear. Well, how did they respond? We look at how the church responds, and we see how they were gathered together. Instead of scattering and leaving the city, they're gathered together. Many of them, it says, were gathered together in the house of John Mark, his mother's house. And you see also that Peter, who could have stayed away, came to the city of Jerusalem. And Peter, who should have been anxious as he's now the night before he's to be executed, hopelessly in jail, he is sleeping. Peter, who knew and was told by Jesus that he would die for shepherding the flock of God, fearlessly had shepherded the flock of God and was ready. But most importantly, how did God respond? God, who had given them so much. God, who had given them the message to share that he would be with them. He was alive. He had conquered death by his death on the cross. He had paid for every sin and every wrong. And he was sending his disciples not on an impossible mission. He was sending them to bring light to a dark world And yes, that dark world would be opposed to that message in many times and ways, but he was sending them to carry out what he had done, the message of forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus had done the impossible. Jesus had rose to life and conquered the grave and forgiven the world. And now his disciples, his witnesses, and you and I, we're not sent on some impossible task. We're sent to carry that powerful message to this world. And so that they would not be discouraged. And so you and I might take heart, we see what God does next. There's Peter between the two guards in that dark cell. And an angel of the Lord comes and wakes him up. Quick, get up. And Peter's not going to leave this jail in some frantic escape. No, he is going to leave the jail in style. Peter, get up, get your sandals, get your cloak, and follow me. Peter's not going to scamper to find his way out. The angel just leads him step by step past the unconscious guards, past the next layer of guards, and this mission impossible is carried out by the Lord. And there, as they get to that iron gate that bars in the fortress from the city, it just lifts right up and Peter just walks right through. And then Peter realizes, as he's made it only a couple steps out, God has set me free. What does Peter do? He doesn't flee the city in fear. No, he stays in the city and he goes and finds God's people because Peter knows why God has done this. God has set him free so that he could remove the fears of his fellow Christians and encourage them. His fellow believers who are gathered in that room, they hear that knock at the door. Is it the Roman soldiers? Are they coming after us next? Are we to run and hide? Someone send Rhoda to the door to go check. And it's Peter. He's alive. And they can't even believe it that it's happened. The Lord has rescued Peter from prison, done the impossible, so that they might know and they might continue to believe. The good news will advance. The church in Jerusalem stayed. The church in Jerusalem gathered in the face of opposition in Jesus' name. And the church in Jerusalem continued to advance the good news despite the opposition, despite the fears. Peter came to Jerusalem despite the opposition. Peter continued to proclaim the gospel, remained in the city. Peter went to those in fear instead of fleeing and encouraged them. The good news of Jesus advanced. And still, the good news of Jesus advances. Picture those who around this world face opposition. There are many pastors and missionaries who face from within and from without those who want to silence them. And there are many Christian parents and teachers that face pressures to be silent in this world. And you will face pressures to not speak of this message. And you'll be tempted to fall into fear and silence. But Jesus is with us. Jesus is alive. Jesus sends us on the message. And like Peter, like the church in Jerusalem, we stand in whatever opposition stands around us, and we advance the good news of the kingdom of God because of Jesus who has taken away our fears. He has done this by his resurrection to life, and he continues to do it for others as you share his good news boldly. Amen.